Oh, praise the Lord. This is Pastor, World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tonight we're doing part 60 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this will be tape or CD number 162. That's program 162. I'll let you know at the end of the program how to receive a copy of it. Please specify if you want a tape or a CD. It's absolutely free, or if you need a Bible, yeah, can't afford one, we'll send it to you free of charge. CDs, literature that I've written, and the Messiah book, whatever. We have some letters, and we also are going to continue How to Have God's Life Living in You, but we're also going to continue exposing Satan, because that's the way to bind him here on earth, to where God will bind him in heaven. All right? Now, you know, shouting at the devil or saying the blood of Jesus is you against you and all this. No, that's good, but the way that the Lord has told me to bind the devil is to expose him. I've likened it as a burglar robbing a store. When the burglar alarm goes on and the lights start shining and the police start coming, the burglars flee because they're bound. They're bound to where they can't steal anything anymore. They can't do any of their dirty, filthy work. It's the same way with the devil. You got to shine the light on him and raise the burglar alarms up, shine the light of the Word of God on them, tell the people in the world what the devil is doing here on earth. And that way, it binds him, because then everybody start looking to see if I'm right. Okay? And the Lord says he will bind him in heaven. That means that when the Lord sends down the word, you're bound, Satan, he's bound. There's nothing that Satan can do against the Lord. When the Lord utters the word, he says, let there be light, there's the light. If he says, Satan, be bound, he's bound. And when he says, Satan, you're going into the pit of hell right now, that satanic being and all his angels and all those that follow him on this earth, they won't live another second on earth. They will not live in anyone else. And all those that are following him will be right in the lake of fire. So that's the reason to expose Satan, because if he's causing you a lot of trouble in your life, I see people on TV all the time saying, the devil just keeps getting me, and he just keeps getting me and getting me. Expose the weasel. Most of the trouble that we have today is coming from the world government. And many of them are the heads of the every country in the world, including ours. And that's why I expose him, so that God will bind him in heaven. It's very easy to bind the devil. That's why people put floodlights around their properties. That's why they have security guards around their properties, so that it scares the burglars away. You understand? So, no burglar is going to come and start hacking through your wall or taking your door off if there's security guards there, or if there's a light or a burglar alarm there, or they're not going to be robbing your business. That binds the criminals from doing anything to you. And you people out there that have children, you know, take your children to school and go and pick them up if you possibly can, or have somebody do it. Well, it costs too much money. What's more important, the money or your child's life? There's so many children that are being kidnapped today. And if I were you, I would take them completely out of public school. Because public schools are teaching them everything you don't want them to know. Everything that you don't want your child to know and that God doesn't want them to know, they're teaching in public schools. Another way to expose Satan is to tell you that the Vatican is the one that is in charge of all the public schools today. You even see priests and supposed to be priests and nuns in their teaching school in our public school system. And you're paying for it, for them to brainwash your children into Antichristism. Catholicism, one worldism, and the to believe the media. Don't send your children to the school. I'm the president of the American Association of Non-Denominational Christian Schools, and you can send your children to our school. We have schools in California, Los Angeles area, and we have schools in Arkansas and in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and near Texarkana, Arkansas. And we have them in schools all over the world. We have schools all over the world. We also have a school in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And if you're in any of these areas and you want your child to be raised properly and to learn the Word of God, let them come to our school. Or if not, then send them to some Bible-based school that believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and believes in exposing Satan. Because we have to know who Satan is in order to fight him. And we have to know what he's doing. We have to know how to bind him. And I'm here to tell you how to bind him, expose him. Now, you've got a lot of liars on television. Satan hates the idea that I'm binding him here on earth, exposing him, and that the Lord is binding him in heaven. They say all kinds of stories about us and about other people, too. Like, for instance, they're telling people that there was no Holocaust, that all these Jews, that there was no Jews that died in World War II. And people believe that garbage. And they're saying all kinds of things about us. They never talk about how they're murdering hundreds of millions of children and men and women, their parents and grandmothers and grandfathers. These are the worst hoodlums that ever lived on the face of this earth. They are people that are possessed with the devil. And they have no room. The media has no room to talk about any of a born-again Christian church. And why are they exalting Catholicism when they know full well that they are the ones that have murdered hundreds of millions of people? And they're the ones that are dictating the policy to our government, the world government. It's not our government. It's not my government. My government is the government of God. I believe the Bible, the Old and New Testament. That's my doctrine. People say, well, what's your doctrine? My doctrine is the Old and New Testament, all right? And I believe in walking in the Holy Spirit. Can you believe them saying, I mean, do we have people today that lived in those concentration camps, those death camps, and escaped them? And they're trying to tell everybody that they never really was any Holocaust, that there was no Jews that were killed. And the Vatican is saying we should have helped when they're the ones that ordered the death of those people. I mean, my Lord and my God. You know, these people run the media. They can say anything they want about us. They can say anything they want about all these people that they've been murdering. They can just come up and make some kind of weird story about why they killed the people at Waco. Why did they? When they would have easily, they would have gone down and they would have surrendered themselves from the beginning. I was in prison for the gospel's sake. They railroaded me into the prison. And lo and behold, here some of those people from the Branch Davidians were put in prison. I told them, hey, what went on over there? I know the press is lying. He says, yeah, they are lying. They're lying because David Koresh tried to surrender. He was waving white flags outside the door and saying, why are you people shooting at us? They had no idea. And so he stepped outside the door and they shot him twice. So he jumped back in the door again. And they knew it was impossible to try to escape, to surrender. So then we found out from John Peeler, who was an FBI agent, a secret agent at that time, and a secret agent with the Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, BATF as in Frank. And he blew the whistle on them big time, stating that they went there to kill Koresh and those little babies and the mothers and dads of those babies. And they were laughing about it, and they were calling it a turkey shoot. Do you call these American soldiers? These are not American soldiers. And they're the same people, the media, that's saying that there was no Holocaust. And the millions of other lies they tell you every day. The lies they've told about us and Koresh and many other Christians, it's just nauseating, like what they said about the Lord, our Lord and Savior, God, who came into this world in the flesh. You weasels out there, and I know you're listening to me, because when I've been in court, I've seen you people carrying my literature in your sport coats and in your suit, inside suit, your the suit jackets. And I know that when I'm on the air, you're listening to my broadcast. You know, because I'm obviously the one that exposes you the most. You don't have any trouble in this world more than what I'm causing you. I'm telling on you, bunch of weasels. And the waste that I saw in prison, and the waste of the taxpayers' dollars that I saw when I was in the United States Navy. They throw so much food away there in the prisons and in the Navy. Take, for instance, Thanksgiving and Christmas, when they have, like, turkey. They have a big turkey drumstick, and then they have, like, about a half pound of turkey meat and all kinds of other things. I'm not trying to talk any of you into going into prison for the chow, because that's a two-time event during the year, and it's not that bad on those days. It's outside the fact that some of that chicken has been around since World War II, frozen, and I think it's a little freezer burnt. But some of the people in prison, there's so much that you eat there, they want to take the big turkey drumstick into the cell, and they won't allow it. They make you throw it in the garbage. They won't collect it and take it over to the one of our churches, so that we can distribute it to the poor and needy, or the hungry people in this world. And they won't take it to Salvation Army or Red Cross or any place like that. Nope, it's got to go into the dump. And this is like the tip of the iceberg of what I'm talking about. These people, they no more care. They just figure they've got it made, that you people out there are paying taxes up to trillions of dollars. And, you know, they're just wanton. But they never consider that you people are out there in the world knocking yourself out, pulling down two jobs, and your wife is pulling down a couple of jobs to just make ends meet, and your children are in daycare centers and left in with child molesters and everything else. And then they've got room to talk about anybody, the news media, the government, and the stinking Vatican. My Lord and my God, what a bunch of stinking hypocrites. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, let's go to the throne, and let's ask the Lord. I mean, everything is such a sham here on this earth. Like, we're reading about World War II, how they just wouldn't allow you to have butter. They wouldn't allow you to have anything. Like I said, people that smoke, it's a good thing that they wouldn't let them have cigarettes. But they went and bought cheap tobacco. You could buy Bull Durham and things like that and roll it. I know, because both of my parents smoked, and they wouldn't allow them to have. They said we had to send all the cigarettes overseas to the boys, and the Hershey bars, and the all. They said they had to make parachutes out of the silk or the nylon. No nylon hose for the women, and we were using cardboard shoes. What a bunch of, and they were dumping all this stuff out in the ocean. There was no shortage on that. We were living in the most fruitful part of Montana, in Lewistown, Montana, which is Fergus County, and that's where they have, you know, it's like the breadbasket of Montana, where they have this Fergus County dairy. We could get dairy farmers felt that they'd go to prison, and they would if they would even give you 1 pound of butter. That's how such, it's like You talk about communism. You talk about communism as the division of the Vatican. It's like they are like, they rule with an iron fist. But, and then there's people that are starving by them, billions in this world, and they won't let them have it. They want to, they'd rather throw it away than to, and they don't care to see these little black children in Africa starving to death. You can see their ribs and their eyes are hollow. These are the devils. This is the devil. This is the Antichrist cult from Rome. It's government called the Beast, the prostitute from Rome, and also it's news media, the mouth of Satan, that exalts the Vatican and the popes, who are devils right out of hell. And they put down the people of the Lord. Well, thank God. It's just amazing that they allow me on the air, because they took me off the air for about 30 years now. 24 years for sure, as Susie got so sick. And they put us off the air because we were so graphic. And they will not let me on television now. We're trying. And we're praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, let us on there. But they won't. They say you can't say anything negative. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for allowing us to know who the devil is. More, I'm really happy to know who you are, because if I didn't know you, Father, I'm sure I would not know who Satan was and where his seat is in Rome, and that the world government is the Antichrist government, you call the Beast, and that the cult in Rome, they call the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, that is the prostitute, the mother of every abomination on earth, the mother of every whorish abomination on earth, and that you said Satan would be given a voice, this Antichrist government and cult, and that is the news media for sure. There's no other explanation for it, so you people might as well just forget about it. These people say that I'm exalting myself, Father, on this radio program, and I'm exalting you and the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Me, I'm a nothing. If I, even the words that I say must be from you, or I will not say them. And you're about ready to pull the plug on these people, Lord. We're standing at the very end of time. The two witnesses are going to be manifested in this world, and the seven major plagues will happen in quick succession. You'll come back to earth to dwell with us that are born of the Spirit for 1,000 years, and that'll be 1,000-year marriage supper of the Lamb, and then right after that will be the will be the bride for 1,000 years here on earth. Satan will rise up again for a short period, and you'll throw all of them and those that are with him into hell in the lake of fire, and then the church will be the wife. Instead of the bride, they'll be the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God himself. So, Father, we ask that you do the preaching, the teaching in this service tonight, and that that you will open their ears and their spiritual eyes so that they will be able to receive the things that they hear on this program, that their souls might be saved, and that the church will be strengthened. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Olamo, this is your friend in the Lord, Pastor Emmanuel. I thank God for giving me this opportunity to write and thank you for the Messiah books, the world newsletters, and the literature that you sent to me. This meant so much to me because through such materials, hundreds of people have been baptized. Praise God.
You know, now if I'm so bad, how come these hundreds of millions of people are being saved in this world? It's for sure The Catholics are not winning any souls. They're bombing people all over the world. The Pope, see, Satan is like, says, I hate war. The Pope says that, and yet he's the one that on the other side of his mouth is ordering the beast, the world government, the armies of the world to bomb different places. We have to take over every country. I mean, if you were the devil, let's face it, the Lord said that in the last days Satan would be so deceptive that even the very elect could be deceived if possible. And that possibility would only exist if you don't know the Word of God and if you don't know God, if you don't know God through Jesus Christ. So the main thing is for you to know God, not this secular government down here. To know God, you must have God's life living in you. And otherwise, he doesn't know you, and you don't know him, and he'll say, I never knew you, and he'll cast you into the lake of fire on Judgment Day. But that's why he sent us into the world, is to preach this gospel to you people so that you know that going to church or belonging to some religion won't do. You must be born again, Jesus said. It's an absolute must. It's mandatory to be born again of the Spirit. God the Father, with his Son Christ Jesus, enters you at the same time. He's the Spirit. And you're saved. And then you start building the life of Christ in you with his Father by the Spirit. You become one with the Father. And then you can enter into heaven and stay out of hell if you continue on to the end. Okay, now what else does he say?
They are asking me to give them holy Bibles to read and understand more about God's Word, but I don't have holy Bibles to distribute to the people to read.
Right, and you people that are holding back on tithes and offerings, we've never really pushed for it, but the Bible tells us to. And I'm getting convicted for not telling about it. Yeah, you know, we have to order another, probably about 500,000 Bibles, and that's going to run some good money. It's going to run probably at least $1.5 million, and we need your help, okay? Now, here's people that are, you're not binding Satan unless you help, you're not binding the devil unless you're helping the church, the body of Christ, and to win more souls to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which is the Word of God. So we preach the Word, which is it's like an organic, living creature, the Word of God is. It isn't just words. These words are the Holy Spirit, and they are life. And so they need these Bibles, the people out there in the world, and we need your help to get it for them. And you need to help us because that shows that you don't have an ounce of mercy in you. The Bible says those that sow mercy shall receive mercy at Judgment Day. But if you sow no mercy, you're not going to receive any mercy at all. Your soul is going to be tormented forever in the lake of fire. And your smoke will go up forever because you withheld this viable, this organic, living Word of the living God from the people on earth that Christ died for. Now, if Christ died for it and you just hang on to your money, then the Lord is not going to bless you. If you're convicted for not doing it and you don't loosen your hands, your fist full of money, well, then you're going to catch some kind of disease or one of your loved ones or something terrible is going to happen to you because you dasn't rob God. Okay? Don't do that. There's a lot of other things that you could do in life besides robbing God, don't you think? So send your tithes and offerings in before it's everlastingly too late for you. If you don't, God will raise somebody up one of these days to help with these enormous bills that we have. We're a bunch of people here that have been working. We don't get any government. Do you think the government's going to give us aid?
No.
Do you think the Antichrist is going to give us any money? If you think that, you need to go someplace and have your mental faculties checked, because the Antichrist is not going to give us anything, especially if we're buying Bibles with it and sending literature and tapes and videos and all sorts of things to these people out in the world that are hungry and thirsting for the Word of God. So we're not getting aid. We don't get any government aid. We're out there. We work ourselves. Much of my day involves instructing people that go to the church of what, how to make money and things like that. And, you know, what to do. And when they do it, you know, there comes enough to where we can send a Bible. Some of them want 1,000 Bibles, and we're only able to send them maybe 10 or 20. Okay, so we're you're hurting, not us, because we're already saved here. And I have a Bible, and everyone in the church has a Bible. But we want to get Bibles to everyone that wants one. And everyone that wants a Messiah book. We just had to order 100,000 more of those. And we'll probably have to order 100,000 Bibles instead of 1,000,000, which we need. These Bibles run about $3-4 a piece. If there's some of you out there that know where we can get them more reasonable, fine, let us know. Don't just sit there, don't dummy up on us, you know, explain it to us. Because we love to give Bibles away and literature. Okay, then what else does the man say?
So please, Pastor, I'm pleading with you again to help me with at least 15 or 20 Holy Bibles to distribute to the people to read, because 20 of them are well educated. Also send me 10 Messiah books, please. Also for myself, I beg you to send me one Holy Bible in giant print and a Bible dictionary. God will bless you. Dear Pastor Lamo, I pray to the Almighty to increase your spiritual power of the truth that is in Jesus, and to increase your days of life and give you more knowledge towards His work. I am ending here in God's blessing, and may He bless you very richly as you work for the extension of His kingdom and the salvation of precious souls. Thank you, yours in Christ, Pastor Emmanuel from Sekondi, Ghana, Africa.
Right. I wonder why the people in the world don't get down on these people that are lying and saying there was no Holocaust. You know, the world is just filled full of liars, and the media is very quick to set these things forth. They just doing reruns on this Jim Jones thing. We had people, I don't know, that escaped from there, and they came to our church and told us that the government was there and put bullet holes in every one of their head, including Jim Jones. Now, I don't know anything about his doctrine or anything, but they did that to make it look like everyone that's not a Catholic is a cult. But the Catholics are renowned for killing billions of people, you know, and then they make a big deal out of this, and they're the ones that killed the people at Jonestown. There was a bullet right in the back of Jim Jones's head. If you're going to commit suicide, first of all, who has got such a great amount of, who is such a wordsmith that they could con 1,000 people into committing suicide? You'd think that somebody'd run out into the woods and hide, you know, somewhere. Well, they did. But Jim Jones, if you're going to commit suicide, you put the gun. I've seen many people put a gun to their temple and blow their brains out, or they put it in their mouth. But you know, you'd have to be a contortionist to put one behind your head and fire. Come on. Let us reason together. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
They put a bullet hole in his head, and they killed those other people, because the people from Jonestown, several of them came to us and told us they were scared to death. They said, this government is of the devil. I said, well, tell me something new, okay? Something that I don't know, all right? Okay, and then what? Where's this next letter from?
From Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, okay. What do they have to say in Brooklyn?
It's translated from Polish. It says, I would like to begin by giving you brotherhood greetings. I have received your newsletter from the pastor, together with the leaflet titled Dry Bones, which some gentleman was distributing in Greenpoint, New York. I am also interested in the Bible in Polish, as well as in the book entitled The Messiah in Polish.
Yes, we have the Bible in Polish, and we also have the Messiah book in Polish. I figured we got to get back at that Pope, so we'll translate the Messiah book and my literature into Polish. And I've got it, we've translated it into German, because I wanted those people to learn the truth. I'm not against them. What I'm trying to do is save their souls. Now, if that makes me a dangerous cult, or anybody that would win souls, and or say, look, we can't kill people for what the government has conned them into doing. But what we need, what the Lord wants us to do is, they're big sinners, all right, but he wants us to win their souls, to preach the gospel to them, and that's what everyone should do. But you've got people like former President Clinton that says, there's other cults, you know, and this will teach people to be in cults. Let's just kill the babies and kill their mothers and dads. Does that sound like Jesus to you?
No.
This man says he's a Baptist, but the minute that he won the presidentship, he immediately traveled with the Pope and said that this Ross Perot, the best thing about him was that he was Catholic. Clinton, President Clinton, former President Clinton, is Catholic. The Bush family says they're born-again Christians. They're Catholic. Please believe me. They're building monuments for the Vatican and to the Pope in Washington, D.C. You can go there and see them. Right? Why, if they're not ashamed of Catholicism, do they say they're born-again Christians? Why? Because they are ashamed, because they know that there's millions of people that know the atrocities of that Antichrist cult that is empowered, the Bible says, by the great red dragon, the devil himself, and this government. You say, I'm saying against the American government? No, I'm saying it against the world government, the United Nations, because they really get on your case now if you say that America should be a sovereign nation. Even in the Army, Navy, Marines, they say, don't you dare, if you join the Army, Navy, or Marines, say, don't you dare call it the U.S. Army, Navy, or Marines. They don't want you to do that. You could be put in the brig for saying such a thing as that, because it's the world government army, but they're using our young men and women as gun fodder. Do you know what gun fodder is? That means something to shoot at. In other words, they send them over to get shot and killed because they want to deplete the United States of America of its manpower so that they can more easily invade us. And some people might say, well, this is a John Birch meet. No, it's not. John Birch is a division of the Vatican also. I'm not a John Bircher. I am a born of the Spirit Christian who's telling you the truth. Okay, what's the rest here?
I'm interested in all of your publications in the Polish language. I also would like to distribute copies in Polish in my area to the Polish people. Maybe the pastor has a CD with good religious music or a DVD film. I wish you a lot of health and God's mercy. Signed, Joseph from Brooklyn, New York.
See, now a lot of people may say that because the Pope was one of the Antichrist, that all Polish people are bad. Not this person. Amen. They want to get the gospel out to everybody. And praise the Lord for this Polish person. If you think I'm against the Poles or the Italians or anybody, or the blacks or the browns or the beiges or the mocha-colored people or the reds or the yellows, no, you're crazy. I'm to win everybody's soul. Even people that are in the government and in the Vatican, I'd love to win them. And I'd love to win people in the media, and I have done so, and I'm doing it every day. Okay, so I don't hate anybody. We have no guns, no weapons, nothing like that here at our church. We've had to hire some security because there's been... I see all the churches being bombed and everything, so we have security guards. That's about it. But none of us have any weapons or at all. Never. Never have, never will. Okay, then where's the next letter from?
From Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I am Pastor Dennis from Zambia, Africa. I am running a ministry, and your soul-winning literature is helping me to win souls. Many souls have been won for Christ because of your anointed materials.
See, now that makes me a bad guy because they're won for Christ. And of course, there was no Holocaust, right? That's what the media likes to tell you. And a bunch of other liars on the face of this earth. We're winning souls. We're getting people off of narcotics, drugs, off of alcohol, out of demon-possessed cults like the Vatican and false religions. And we're getting them off of... we're winning murderers to the Lord. And they're now carrying Bibles instead of guns and ammunition. Then what?
I have been inspired by your book, The Messiah, and many others. I am in contact with your soul-winning literature. I came in contact with your soul-winning literature 3 years ago when someone gave me one of your newsletters. Ever since that time, my life has changed for the better. Your materials are on high demand here in Lusaka, Zambia. Pastor Lamo, you are the true spiritual father of me and my church. Please adopt me as one of your associate ministers. Pastor, I need your assistance. Send us 50 Bibles in the English language and your soul-winning literature. Also send us your sweatshirts with your Tony Lamo Ministries logo. Looking forward to your email reply soon. Yours, Pastor Dennis from Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Now, I don't want our people, you know, we have watch people and all that, but these people, you know, even if grocery stores and all your different, like the hotels have security there, and also the clothing mart has security guards there. Why? Because there's terrorists around. And we're very peaceful people, but we just want people to spot them and report them and chase them off. That's what. Or hand them a gospel tract. Okay? Isn't that smart?
Yes.
Right. No, we don't want any to kill anybody or to do anything like that. And so don't let anybody start with that stuff. Now, they're saying that Jim Jones shot at people, or his people did. That I don't know anything about, but I know that from these people that came to our church that they were murdered. I can't talk 10 people in my church or talk them into sweeping the sidewalk, let alone if I tried to tell some of the people that they had to commit suicide. One thing, maybe Jim Jones's people were crazy, but my people are not. I teach them that if they ever committed suicide, their souls would go to hell. And if we ever killed anybody, our souls would go to hell. And if we ever lied about anybody, our souls would go to hell. And I don't want to go to hell. I've been in the gospel field now for 41 and a half years. And after all this time and suffering that I've been through, which it was the Lord was always with me, I don't want to go to hell this at this late date. Okay, so who? What else have you got?
That was the last letter.
That was it? Okay, so now let's read, continue on with World War II, and then after this, we'll read a little bit on how to have God's life living in you, and I'll probably bring some of these golden gems up to you as we're reading this. Continue. Now, this book, if you want to order it, is the... It's called, the name of it is The Secret Secret Terrorists, and it's written by
Bill Hughes.
Now, if you want to get a copy of it, we don't sell books or anything like that, and we don't, I didn't write this, but I've been told that the man that wrote this got a lot of his information from me. Now, how can they order this book?
By writing to Truth Triumphant, P.O. Box 567, Tangerine, Florida 32777.
Now, is that a publishing company or what?
Just got the name of the title.
Okay. Don't say it loud enough. Don't
it
whisper.
It just says the name, the Truth Triumphant. Doesn't say.
Okay,
what it
repeat
is.
It again.
Truth Triumphant, P.O. Box 567, Tangerine, Florida 32777.
Love tangerines. And the name of that town sounds so good. Maybe they have a lot of tangerines there, huh? Go over there and have some. Okay, here. Okay, let's begin.
The Vatican helped Hitler to gain power and then helped him to consolidate his grip on Germany. This was done.
Okay,
in
think about that. The Vatican. They financed Adolf Hitler. The Vatican is the one that gave him the money to wage war against every... Now, hell is a town. And to raise hell, and it's not a cuss word, it's a town. Hell is in the center of this earth, and the lake of fire is. And what else did they do? They financed Hitler, and what else?
And helped him consolidate his grip on Germany.
So, yeah, he can... Then what?
This was done in party by, quote, advising, unquote, the Catholic Party of Germany to vote for Nazi candidates. The Catholic vote gave Hitler the majority he needed to legally form a government in 1933.
A government after the Vatican, after Satan. Then what?
Further to this, the Vatican ordered Catholic members of the Reichstag Parliament to support legislation giving Hitler the power to rule by decree. This measure gave Hitler the dictatorial power he needed to destroy the German communists.
The German communists, the communists again, is just a division of the Vatican. The devil doesn't care about its own people. Like, it'll raise up a group of people to take the heat off of the Pope. Just like right now, Bush, President Bush, has taken all the heat from the Pope for the Vatican. In other words, it's Bush's decision to bomb Iraq, and it's Bush's decision to bomb Iran, and it's Bush's decision to sell our ports to all the alien, like the Arabs. This is not coming from President Bush. You can look into his eyes and tell that there's vacancy there. He's taken orders from higher up. He's a puppet for the Pope, okay? Every time I look at him, I know that he is not doing this. Ronald Reagan told me that he was a puppet of the Pope. And Ronald Reagan's mother and I were very good friends. And President Reagan tried to be friends with me. As a matter of fact, he sent Herb Ellingswood, his right-hand man, over to our church in Los Angeles on Sierra Highway to commend us for cleaning up Los Angeles and saving it from being burnt. But the Vatican kept inspiring these blacks to rise up because they felt that this was what they had to do because of what happened to that Rodney King, and they did it. But this was like an impulsive thing that we were not able to stop. There's nothing that can be attained by killing people or smashing them. All it's going to do is these people, God is going to take sense away from you. Common sense, he's going to extract any kind of soundness of mind out of your soul, and you're going to be going to hell if you kill people or if you like to riot. And a lot of people love to riot today, but it's not of the Lord. Okay, now go ahead.
The whole Vatican-Hitler bargain had been conducted in secret before Hitler became Chancellor of Germany in January 1933.
That was a year before I was born. Okay, then what else?
In June of the same year, Hitler and the Vatican signed a concordat under terms of which the Church swore allegiance to the Nazi regime. Soon afterward, Catholic Franz von...
So the Church, the Catholics, supposed to be Church, swore allegiance to Hitler's format of killing, murdering the Jews. And as I said, my friend, who was the owner of Cashbox magazine, he was invited to the Vatican because the Pope had cut a LP aside, what they call CDs today. And so they paid his trip expenses and eating expenses and everything to Rome. So George said, Tony, I flew there, and, you know, here was a motorcade. Man, they really made me feel important because the Pope wanted to be on the charts. And so he was really buttering me up, you know, with all this regalia. And so we went to the Vatican. We went through St. Peter's Basilica. They said the Pope is like with somebody right now, but he'll be around, you know, in about an hour. And so the Pope has arranged that you'll be taken through the catacombs down below the Vatican. So he saw all these coffins down there. He said, "Who are these coffins? What are these coffins here?" And the guide told him, "These are our enemies." And so he says, "Well, who are your enemies?" They didn't know that George was a Jew, because what was his last name? I forget.
George Albert,
yeah. And George and I are very good buddies. We traveled around together quite a bit. And whenever he came to Nashville, we'd be together. And when I was out here, we'd be together. We've been out to eat. The guide said, "Our enemies are the Jews." He says, "You dirty, filthy, blankety blank." And he says, "Listen, get the motorcade back out here, our car or something, and get me back to the airport. I don't want anything to do with you bunch of weasels." And George was a real salty person. I can't say the words that he said that he told them, you know, not on the air. I can't, as a Christian, say those words. But so he says, "Tony, I know, and everybody in the entertainment industry knows that you're telling the truth, but what are we supposed to do?" I says, "You got to get saved, man. Just ask the Lord to come into you and pray. Praying and then exposing these weasels is the thing that binds the devil." And, you know, that's what I do. But anyway, I see that our time is getting close to run out, so I'm going to have Sharon come forward and read a little bit more of how to have God's life living in you. And we're going to talk more about these things in our message tomorrow. So make sure you tune in. Don't miss one of these programs, because they're for you, they're for your life. And if you contact our website, you'll see when the radio program is, like if you go from one state to another, you'll be able to see on our website, or tell your friends, where our my program is running in their area. We go clear up into Montana, clear down to Washington, D.C., over to to California, Northern California, Southern California. We're making arrangements to get on the air there. We're in Europe. We're all over the world. And many other areas. One of the programs from Memphis or Little Rock goes clear to Montana and all the way throughout of Montana, and hits around 9 or 10 states. So, you know, if you want, we also printing up a piece of literature that tells of all our programs and everything. And it says, "Here, Pastor," it's a "Here, Tony Alamo, tell it like it is on radio stations," so on and so forth, and it gives the times and so on. Okay, what do we have here? What is the first thing you're saying?
Some people don't care about the withering up of one of the members of the body of Christ at all.
Right. So, you know, everybody's withering and dying. The people that are unsaved are dead. God says they're dead. Your spirit needs to be revived. And the only way that it can be revived, or like resurrected from its dead state, is to receive the Word of God, to receive Christ with His Father, into your heart and soul, because the Father is the Spirit. Jesus has become the Spirit as well. These three are one: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're not divided, they're one unit. And so when you're inviting Christ into your heart, the Father comes with Him in the Holy Spirit. It's a package deal, so to speak. Okay? You get all three. Three in one. God is one. God. But He's multiple. The Bible states in the book of Genesis, He said, "Let us," that's plural, "make man in our," that's plural, "image." Amen?
Amen.
"In our," plural, "image, let us make man." So when the power of God is in you, the triune Godhead is in you, you're saved. You're resurrected from the dead, your spirit is. And then your spirit keeps receiving more and more power from God's Spirit, His Word that you read, that you are able to control your soul and your body. Now, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And the Spirit is where God enters into by His Spirit. And we contact God with our spirit, and God contacts us with His Spirit to our spirit. And our spirit is the one that gets the power from God to put down our satanic-like soul and our satanic, the lusts of our flesh. So if we have the Spirit of God in us, the Spirit of God holds up the entire universe. And so it's more than capable of holding our spirit up and making it so powerful that we are able to discipline our spirit, our soul, and our body to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that's how you, so, and when that happens, well, then we are able to win other people to the Lord. There becomes, when God enters into us, He comes in and gives us the desire to say, Father, Abba. We raise our hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And then He also brings with Him into our mortal bodies immortality, into our spirit, so long as we continue on doing what He says to the end. And He gives us the desire to let Him take over our lives, and that means that our former lives are dead, they die out, and that He lives in us and through us, and therefore it becomes, we become people that have allowed God to do His work. And then that way it's called the work of God. Okay, the work of God. And there's none of us that can bring, can do anything unless it's God in us. We can't do any godly thing without it being God doing it in and through us. So, this desire, it came into me instantly that I wanted to distribute people's literature. We went down, Sue and I'd go down to the Free Tract Society, and we'd just buy a bunch of pieces of literature, and I'd get up early in the morning, I couldn't wait for the sun to come up, and I'd run down the streets putting these gospel literature, the one that we liked, because I wasn't writing back then, until after Susie died, which was 17 years later. And I couldn't wait to get the news. As a matter of fact, when I first got saved, I went to the whole news media and told them Jesus is coming back to earth again. And I says, you people, if you really want to be saved, print it in the paper. And some of them says, okay, we will. And I told Sue they're going to print it. She says, they won't, Tony. I was just a very zealous young Christian. I'm a very zealous older Christian now. Much wiser, and I know that the media is not going to print anything like that. But let's continue on. But if you're also in the church and you have the Spirit of God in you, you're going to want to help those recover from falling away. You're going to take care of young Christians and be gentle with them. Sometimes, you know, older Christians have been around for 10, 20, 30, 36 years in this ministry. You can get a little rougher with them if they just don't pay any attention to baby Christians, and I'll shout them down sometimes, and I'll really rebuke them sometimes. But the baby Christians, I'm extremely, I know that they're just young in the Lord, and you have to be patient with them. And it's just amazing to me that when we were so patient with the older ones, that very few of them have any patience with the new ones that are coming in. It's just amazing to me that they don't care or concerned or are not aware of the fact, after I say it so many times, that they're going to be held responsible at the judgment bar of God if any of these people fall away that they're being rude to. All right? Okay, so let's go.
Some people don't care about the withering up of one of the members of the body of Christ at all, just as long as they keep the rules.
Yeah, so there's rules that everybody has, you know, make your bed, do this and that. And then if they don't do it, well, they want to just ram them out of the church if they just don't make their bed. Instead of just saying, look, you know, you have to do that as an example. Or something as trivial as that. But they destroy their souls over something so petty. Okay, then what?
But where is the Sabbath in such ideas as that? Where's the rest? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no rest for a person that is a withered member of the body. There's no rest. And a person that wanders off instead of caring for newly saved souls and just wants to get home to bed, they're more withered than the new people that are moving in.
Right, because the new people are full of the zeal of the Lord, and they can't understand somebody being vicious to them that have been born again for years. The older that we are in the Lord, the more stronger we should be, and the more gentle we should be with the people that are moving in, all right, or and the people that are out in the world. They try to paint me as a person that's extremely, you know, like ruling with an iron fist, but that isn't me. Okay, it's just like I'll rebuke older people if they are just deliberately trying to throw souls, and they or just doing it unconsciously. People have to become aware and know what they're doing. Well, anyway, just go ahead and read a couple more. I see our time is up.
That's why the Bible says that the first will be last and the last will be first. The Lord Jesus said, in effect, I don't care for the Sabbath. The only thing I care about is my members, the ones that are falling away, my fallen sheep.
Now, what good is it to have a ceremony of a Sabbath or washing people's feet or any of these things? It's very important that if you don't care about souls, amen?
Amen.
Or to have, you know, communions, you know, to make an open show of religion rather than being concerned like the Good Samaritan was. He didn't claim to be born again in the Spirit or Christian at all, or any religion. He just was a good guy. All right, I'm going to have to stop now because I see our time is up. And those of you that want to have the Spirit of God living in you, if you want to be on your way to the kingdom of heaven and completely cut off, not going to the lake of fire, just say this prayer, and the Lord will save your soul. Okay, just repeat to God, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, therefore, I am calling upon you, Lord, for salvation. And therefore, I know you're not going to turn me away. I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Let us praise and thank the Lord for your salvation. And if you'd like to have a copy of this tape or a CD, it's available on both. It's free of charge. It's program 162. And just get our website, and you'll receive a copy of it. Now tell them what the website is.
AlamoMinistries.com.
You spell Alamo, A-L-A-M-O, just like Remember the Alamo. All right? Okay, and so until tomorrow, this is World Pastor saying, World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.